and upon you. That sounds great. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. Not so great. But God, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. That hard stuff is sandwiched between two really good things. God can do this, folks. He can do it. He can do it in our lives. He can do it in our family. He can do it in our church. And the scripture that really came to me, and when Pastor Dave said, put out your hands, I mean, if you've got stuff you're holding on to, it's hard to pick up new stuff. But we have to be encouraged. If we decide to do that, and I read that first one, because God's going to do it, people. We have to run with him. We have to look for what he's doing. But if we commit stuff to him, because I know you say, what will I do if I give up that? And it really isn't a horrible sin, but it kind of diverts me from God's perfect purposes. If we truly want what God wants for us, 1 Peter says, verse 5, talking about us, the body of Christ, individually, who are kept by the power of God. God will keep us. When we choose to walk in his way, it is God's job to keep us, and he will, and he's been faithful. And as we recall the things he's done in our life, we all have to say, faithful beyond our wildest dreams. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence here this morning. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you that you do it all, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Okay, the announcement, Monday night's Bible study, tomorrow night at 6. Wednesday night prayer meeting is at 7. And there's a, boy, time is flying. Fellowship next Sunday. It is very helpful to have you sign up in the foyer. There is also the option to sign up to help with setup or cleanup. And looking at our numbers, you know that that's always helpful to be of help in these things. Please check the lost and found table. Items not collected by September 1st will be discarded or donated. Keep your eyes open for great deals at the stores. As schools start up again, you might find some great items to add to Operation Christmas Child. I'm a bargain hunter, and yeah, you know, you go into the school supplies, you have to look carefully, but whoo, when you get a deal, you get an amazing deal. Okay, this is Mission March Sunday, and any designated Missions March donations will support the work of Rahema Home. Okay, thank you. Pastor Dave, am I? Oh, yeah. Yeah, the offering. Do I have some volunteers to do the offering? Two volunteers. Thank you, Carl. Thank you, Eric. You want to bless it, Carl? I can, if you want to. You know how to pray. You both do. That's great.
Lord, I ask that you bless the offering today, that it will go to those that need it most, Lord. And I was just thinking about Rahema Home and the great report we got when Shay and Corey and those guys went over. And just bless them, Lord, and give them what they need, Lord. And also here at home, give those that give so generously, Lord, for your cause. You know, the courage to give. In Jesus Christ's precious name, amen. Thank you.
Okay, so just briefly, I'm going to do like I do at school. If you want people to get their name on the board, what you do is pass it around the room. So if you're planning on coming to the end of the summer fellowship, if you can't help to set up or take down, that's okay. If you can't bring anything, it's okay, but let us know you're coming. If you can come and help set up or take down, that would be great. And if you can bring something, that would be great too. But right now we only have about three people's name on the list, and I know there's lots more coming. So if we could just keep it moving around the room and sign up, please. Sign up so that we know who's coming. And absolutely, if you can help, we can definitely use that help, especially with set up outdoors. So I am very excited to ask Brother Tom to come and share this morning. Our brother is an elder in the body of Christ, and I look at him as an elder in our church. And when I need counsel, I go to him. And he has been a tremendous blessing, and he's going to bring the word to us this morning. Brother Tom, come on up.
Good morning. Move this to the middle of the aisle. It just helps me. Well, that was a great time of worship. And Randy is right. When we start to worship corporately, something begins to happen. And then even the people who weren't worshiping to begin with, they want to start. And so that's what we need to do, just press in to worship him. I don't know, if nothing else happens on a Sunday morning, then we get together and we lift up his name and worship him, it's enough. That's not to say that the preaching of the word, that's very important, the teaching is so important, all that stuff is important, but it all takes its place after we lift up the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm always happy that when I can share here, this is home for me. And we've actually been coming to this church for coming up on 5 years now, which is pretty amazing. We moved into town almost 5 years ago and redid that dilapidated house, and God helped us and planted us here. And so when I get an opportunity to share here, I'm sharing. Nobody of Christ is my family, I get that, but this is my family. And so each one of you has become very special to me. And just as I look out, and although every once in a while somebody will do something that really confuses me, like, Katie, what are you doing over there? you belong there. So anyhow, the unpredictability of the body of Christ, you never know what's going to happen. Jeremiah 32, 17 and 18. You know, when Pastor Dave asked me, he thought he was going to be doing something different this morning. Judy, can you bring me that water? I actually heard my voice screaming this morning, and now I got to. So when he asked me almost instantly, thank you. When he asked me to do this, almost instantly, this scripture verse came right into mind. And the application that I want to bring to it came to my mind as well. And it's Jeremiah 32, 17 and 18. Ah, Lord God, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too difficult for you. Remember that song we sing? Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great... You don't remember that, huh? Anyway, it was a great song, and we used to sing it a lot there. And then we'd sing, is there anything too hard for thee? You know, and we would just carry on because as we sang the scripture, we began to realize that there is nothing too difficult for him. Now, we live in a world that pretty much is, it's in a state of hopelessness. I'm not saying every believer is, I'm just saying the cultures of the world, they're in this place that this thing is really hot. I don't know if anybody is, but it seems really hot to me. But we live in a world filled with hopelessness, I heard somebody on the news. I don't watch a lot of news, but I did heard somebody say that back in some of the earlier times of difficulty in our country, they said they looked forward and they could see a light at the end of the tunnel, but now they don't see that. There's like this hopelessness that's coming upon people, and oftentimes and many times it can come upon Christians themselves. And some of the things that are in our life, we have no expectation of change. Some are big things, but some things in our lives are not so big. They're more personal or they're more subtle. In a way, we just kind of made peace with them. Things in our lives that maybe we struggled with or tried to work through, and been there, done that, and it just hasn't worked, and so just make peace with it. When we moved in here in Wellsville, I had a shop at my old house. And in that shop, there were these totes. And these totes were filled with all kinds of stuff. No, they wasn't organized. I had moved them from the house we moved from in New Jersey. And so there they were, and we lived 7 years in that house, right? Seven, something like that. 7 years. In 7 years, I never opened up that tote, those totes. But when it came time to move here, I picked them up and I brought them and I put them there again. So they've been sitting in my shop in my house on the floor. They're not like in the middle of the room, but they're there, and often they're in the way. And so I have to go and I have to move them aside. Now, last week I said, enough is enough. And I started going through these things and I got three big bags full of junk. They went to the dump, and I felt so good. And I got this space that I can fill up with something else, I presume. But I got this space that I didn't have, and I was thinking about it, and I'm thinking, I carried these things from New Jersey to Rochester, then I carried them from Rochester to here. They serve no purpose but to get in my way. I remember a story I heard, Andy Rooney. Andy Rooney, you probably know who he is. He wrote an essay, and he said that he had saved everything he wrote in college for journalism school, and he had it in boxes. And he said there were boxes upon boxes in his basement, and he had them there for 30 years. And finally he said, and he never looks in them, so he finally said, I got to get rid of them. So he took them all one day. He just took them out to the curb and got them out to where the garbage people could take them. And he came in and he felt good, but then he began to think. He said he thought, if I throw these away now, I've wasted 30 years. So he went and he got them and he brought them all back. So sometimes we try to get rid of things and we bring them back. Our lives can be like that. That we have things that we can have in our lives that we carry with us that serve no good purpose whatsoever. And actually, when we look at them, we know they should go. We just never actually get around to having them go. We have a friend in Knoxville, Tennessee. And she is just yesterday, her husband died a couple years ago. Great friends of ours, wonderful missionaries and pastors. Just, we've known them for many, many years. And she just, without her husband, she just felt, I need to get rid of this big house. It was probably, what would you say, 3,500 square foot house, probably six bedrooms, just this huge house. So she's downsized into an apartment, and she had an estate sale yesterday. And she's selling, you should see the stuff that she is selling. Just all this stuff filled this house. It's amazing what we can collect. And oftentimes what we collect is not good, and I'm talking about our in our own hearts. Now this verse here, excuse me, there's that voice again, and it's Randy's fault. He told me to get going, and I did. So this passage says a lot. It says, God has made the heavens and the earth by his great power. Think about that for a minute. Think about the magnitude of what he did. He spoke and it came into existence. The heaven and the earth by his great power. It says there is nothing too difficult for him. Do you believe that? I know we say we do, and I hope we do, but sometimes we don't seem to. There can come into our minds or into our souls that there are things that either he can't or he won't deal with. And when I'm sharing with this, I don't want to sound to anyone as though I am being negative. I'm just really, I guess, sharing with you things that have been big, heavy on my mind for me as well as for others. There are things that I made peace with. Just made peace with. I'm going to illustrate this a little bit. How many of you know in that little wall outside our church that there's a piece of cement missing? How many know that? Okay, so I remember when I first saw that, it cracked and down it went. And by the way, it's in the process of being fixed, praise the Lord. But it's been sitting the way it's sitting for a while. And in the beginning, it was like, we got to do something. Then I found I'm just walking by it, and I'm hardly noticing it. It just make peace with that kind of stuff. And we can do that in our lives. There's things in there, and in the beginning, it's like, well, this is not good. But then we just make peace. Nothing's happening. I prayed about it. It hasn't changed. And we call these things strongholds. They reside in our thinking and our understanding. Let me give you a couple of definitions of strongholds by two different people. Ed Silvoso, he says this. He says, a stronghold is a mindset, and just listen to these words and see if any of this means anything to where you might be at on any given situation. Stronghold is a mindset impregnated with hopelessness that something contrary to the will of God cannot be changed. Strongholds are incorrect thinking patterns that form when we listen to and believe the lie of the enemy. And when we get trapped in these patterns, they drive us into hopelessness and despair. Strongholds, right up here. It's not out there. It's right here. Okay. It should be. It's right there. But it's a mindset impregnated with hopelessness that something contrary to the will of God cannot be changed. Strongholds are incorrect thinking patterns that form when we listen to and believe the lies of the enemy. When we get trapped in these patterns, they drive us into hopelessness and despair. Bill Perkins says it like this. He says a spiritual stronghold is a fortress of lies built in the soul. Stone by stone, lie by lie, like the fortress takes shape until it seems impregnable. Behind its walls, shame, anger, lust, greed, malice, and a host of evil find refuge. The only ones allowed through its gates are more lies and lying spirits. That's what Bill Perkins says. Strongholds are things in the mind. Now, I've been part of prayer efforts and so on where we're going to pray over a city and pull down strongholds, and I believe in that. I believe that there are ruling spirits. I'm just being very surgical here to talk about these strongholds that are in our thinking. They can influence our thinking. They influence our expectation. If, for example, you might have a problem. I hesitate to say this because somebody will say, "Well, why are you telling my stuff?" So I don't. I'm just trying to think. So you got something in your family, okay? Doesn't seem to get better. We got a son. We got a son that's kind of off the reservation, and we pray for him. To be real transparent, we pray for him every day. But to be equally transparent, I don't always pray with any expectation that it's going to happen. I was really encouraged last week by Pastor Dave when he addressed this and he talked about praying over the seed that's in them. And we've been doing that all week. But I could pray for him, but I'm like, oh, it ain't going to happen. You know, maybe I'm singularly carnal in that. I don't know. but I'm just being honest with you, that there are things that just seem as though they cannot change. And so I have to accept them. Strongholds cause us to accept things that are contrary to the will of God, deeming them as unchangeable. But I would say to you today, nothing is unchangeable for God. You have made the heavens and the earth by your great power. There is nothing too difficult. So if we have something, it could be a pattern of, I'm not going to say it's horrible sin, not out there robbing banks or anything, but there's something that maybe you've struggled with, maybe your whole life. It just keeps coming up, showing itself. And at some point you just say, well, that's the way I am. I remember one time I had this very unpleasant meeting with somebody, and I met this person in a restaurant down in Miami, Florida, actually. And I sat down, and I was a missions director at Elam, so it wasn't as much directed at me as it was against Elam, but there was an issue, and that would be to say it kindly. And for 45 minutes, because I actually timed it, this person went on a tirade, red in the face, and after I was watching my watch and trying to hear, but 45 minutes, at the end of 45 minutes, I put my hand up and I said to her, I wasn't going to reveal her gender, but yeah, I said to her, why are you so angry? You know what she said to me? I'm not angry. I'm Irish. She's made peace with that. I'm telling you what came out of her. I don't know the substance. I don't talk about the substance of what she was saying. She may have had some good points. But that was not godly, what she did. But she just made peace with it. I can fly off the handle. I can get upset. I can make people from other tables look over here while I yell at this guy. It's okay, because I'm Irish. I don't know what might be, what tote you might have been lugging with you through life, but it might be time to look inside that tote and find out if there's something in there that should be dealt with. So we need to deal with strongholds. I'm just trying to say what they are. Got to watch my time here. So dealing with strongholds, we have to deal with them. We can't accept them. We can't make peace with them. We have to say what's right is right. If this something in my life, in my thinking, in my behavior, in my attitude is ungodly, it's contrary to the will of God, therefore it can be changed by the mere definition that it's contrary to the will of God. For it's God that works in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. Like the totes in my basement, they have to go. Now, these strongholds in our lives, they can be fortified by what we focus upon. A couple years now, I realized that, how many of you know we got a very polarized political climate right now? And how many of you know there's not enough news for 24 hours a day? So when you watch the news and you watch the same four or five stories and they come and these have got different faces and now these people sit there in front of the camera and they talk like they really knew what they were talking about and they have no bigger clue than anybody else what the future holds. And I found myself, and I had to say, I got to stop. So I limit, this is me, I'm not telling you can't watch the news, you do whatever you want to do, but for me, it really depressed me. I just saw us going in a direction that brought hopelessness to me. And I said, I can't do that. So I stopped, and I still watch it. I know enough that's going on. Like I say, there's four or five stories, and you're going to hear them over and over again. And so that's I just don't focus on that because of what it was doing to me. But we could focus on how much we don't like somebody. We could focus on how they did something to us back in 1957. We could focus on all kinds of things, but when we focus on those things, they just reinforce a mindset that is contrary to the will of God. So I decided, for me, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus. It's only, yeah, the world's a mess. We got it. We know. Can prove it. It's verifiable. But Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. There's nothing too difficult for him. I don't know what his whole plan for us is. I know how I pray. I know what I want. But I'm fixing my eyes upon him, come what may. I recently had to ask a well-meaning sister, nobody from this church, but she's very much into the politics of the day, and she has newsletters galore. And she felt compelled to forward these to me by email. So after about a week, I called. I said, I really appreciate you doing this. I said, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm not reading them. I don't want to read them. I'm just deleting them. Please, just stop. Because I don't want to focus on that because I know what it does to me. It takes away my hope. And I want hope in my life. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, verses that we're very familiar with. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. I wish I had time to talk about that, weight and sin, but I don't. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls, your will, your intellect, your emotion. God doesn't want us to become weary and discouraged in our souls. So what does he tell us to do? Look to Jesus. That's the remedy. That's what we need to do. So we have to lay aside the things that hinder us, those weights and sin. We know what sin is, weights. Let's just say a weight is doing maybe even a good thing, but something God never called you to do. You don't have grace to do it, but you're doing it only because you think you should. That gets old real quick. So if we do that, it says we will have endurance to run the race God has for us. Wow. And we have to keep our eyes on Jesus, not the problem, not the difficulty, not the bad news, not the frustrating thing, not the kid that won't do what we want him to do, not the job, not the boss, not the school, not anything. You put your eyes on Jesus. And what we focus on will determine a lot. It says here that he is the author, but he's also the perfecter of our faith. And so that's really what we're talking about here. This is so we don't become weary in our souls. The psalmist, dealing with depression and the sense of hopelessness, writes in Psalm 43:5, he says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul?" Sometimes we just need to have a discussion with ourselves. What is your problem? Why are you feeling the way you're feeling? What is going on with you, soul? Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, and I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. That verse is repeated in verse 11 of that psalm. So sometimes we need to ask ourselves. Or something can rise up, and we can push it back down, put it in the tote, carry it with us. Or you can deal with it. These things come up. I call them pop quizzes. You know, when you can study for an exam, and I would get caught with this all the time, not the best student in the world. And so I know an exam's coming, and I pull all-nighters, I do everything. I'm going to pass that exam. And I did, somehow. But the pop quizzes got me every time. Put your books under your desk, take out a piece of paper. Pop quizzes. That's when something totally unexpected comes up and your reaction gives you a D minus. What I'm really talking about today, I think I would most simply just call living in faith. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is being in a place where we don't have, everything isn't realized at the moment, but we're fixing our eyes to a time. This hope for does not mean I bought a lottery ticket and I hope I win. This, although I know you would, but this is this hope for is looking for something that we have a foundation biblically that God has promised us. We know someday he's going to return and we're going to be caught up with him. We know if we pass on before that, we're going to be the absent from the body as present for the Lord. And yet we still hope for that. So is everything in my life, in my world, good? No. Is everything the way I want it to be? No. Is everything that's happening to me joyful and holy and righteous and fair? No, 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 no. It's not a perfect thing that brings peace. It's not a perfect situation that causes us to be able to walk in peace. I can exercise faith in each one of these things and set an expectation in my heart because God is faithful. The J.B. Phillips translation of Hebrews 11:1 says it like this. I like J.B. Phillips. He says, now faith means putting our full confidence in the things we hope for. It means being certain of the things we cannot see. So if we're going to have faith in something we're certain of, where do we get that certainty? Well, we have to go, to know what to believe, we really need to go to his word. Turn to the Bible. What does it say? So your situation arises, whatever it is. Whatever it is that pushes your button, gets you riled up. So you look at that and you say, okay, what does the Bible say about that? And then it's a good time to get out your Bible, get out your concordance, get out your computer, however you do it, and see what God's Word has to say. Now you have substance. You have some place to hang your hope. This is what God says. In Romans 12:2, we're told this, do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's a transformation of our very thought process that we are all in the process of. When I first got saved, most of the things God dealt with were easy. They were simple things. You know, stop running around like a jerk. You know, all the things that go along with that. That was simple. But as time went on, got more personal, more deeper. Issues I picked up along the way in my life, and I picked up my share. My home life wasn't good. That brought all kinds of things into me and all of that. And you have your own history and you have your own things too. So as we go on in this life, he goes deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. I'm thankful I don't have to deal with the things I had to deal with 40-some years ago. They're not even a blip on my radar anymore. They're gone. But they've been replaced by other things. And those things have been there all along. It's just it's taken him 40 years to get to them. And now he says, okay, it's time. Deal with that tote. Empty that thing out. It's in your way. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Does the Bible say we can walk free from sin? Then we can. Bottom line. Does it say he will provide? Then he will. Does it say he'll give us strength? Then look for it. Does it say you can have wisdom? Then ask for it. We must focus on what he says, not what our soul says. It's a battle. It's warfare. Sorry, my voice is changing. 13 again. We have to take, the Bible calls it taking captive every thought. Here it is, 2 Corinthians 10:4, the battle in the mind. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's what it says. Is that possible? I say yeah. So how do we get peace in the midst of all of this? And how do we move forward in all this? What, when the peace stealer comes, reject them. Say no, not doing it, not going there. Go to God, like immediately, if not sooner. Open his word. See what it has to say about that kind of stuff. Invite him in this situation immediately. Bring it all to him in prayer. This is one of my favorite verses, and actually be bringing this all to a close pretty shortly. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, these verses have spoke to my life more times than I can count over the years. I'm so glad Paul wrote them and God put them in the Bible. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, not some things, not a few things, not a thing here and there. In all things, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, we can take that and say, that's the truth. That's what I'm going to do with this. I've had this thing hanging on me long enough. I'm getting rid of it. I'm not going to be anxious. I'm going to take it to God in prayer with thanksgiving. I'm going to make my request known to him, and I'm going to see victory in this area. Or we can say, I'm Irish. It's the way I am. That's it. I'm just the way I am. The way I was raised. It's the way we do things in my house. Or we can say, God, bring me to something higher than that. This, in these verses, as we incorporate them, in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, as we incorporate what he's saying there, it gives us a promise that peace that passes understanding will be ours. Now, have you ever had, I hope you have, I've had it happen a few times, have you ever had anybody say to you, how can you be so calm in the midst of this? It doesn't make sense. But there's a peace that passes what makes sense, passes understanding. Why do I have peace? I don't know. Did the situation change? No. Still got a struggle? Yes. But I have peace in my life. When my son Tim and Judy were in an accident, I've referenced this a few times here, I'm sure, back in 2000, very difficult day for everybody. I'm going to say for me it was more difficult for them. But here I was in the hospital, and my son was taken by helicopters or storms. Judy was in Dansville. We had to deal with two hospitals at one time. Didn't know if Timothy was alive or dead. Nobody could tell me. And so anyhow, finally get Judy over, got her a helicopter, took her over to Strong's. And so he's in surgery, getting pieced together. And she's somewhere in the hospital. I have no clue where she is. They took her away, but she's waiting to, the same surgical team that worked on my son was going to work on her. So I've been sitting in Strong's hospital since maybe 7 or 8 o'clock, and it was just a really, really difficult time to not know what is happening, what's going to happen, where's this going? Do I have a son when this is done? Is he crippled? Do I have a wife? What? And so I was pacing up and down the hallway at Strong's, and I was praying, sometimes praying in the spirit, sometimes praying with the understanding. My heart was broken. I was anxious. I was besides myself, and I was helpless to do anything about it. And the Lord spoke to me. I won't get into the word. It would take a little bit of explanation, but I'm just going to say the Lord spoke a word to me, and peace came over me. I knew the substance of the thing hoped for, he was in charge. And so I did not have to carry this anxiety. I was still deeply concerned, but he calmed my heart. It was still a struggle and a battle, but God gave me spiritual weapons. And so I was able to go through that very difficult time. And it was a long road. It was a lot of recovery. It was a lot of this and a lot of that. But they're both alive and they're both well. But it could have went the other way. I mean, who knows? I've not yet had to receive the grace that some of you have to say goodbye to a spouse or someone. We pray when we pray every morning, we pray for a list of people who have lost their spouses, lost children during this last couple years from COVID and other things. It's a long list. It's amazing. Joan is part of that list. We just pray that God's comforted. I've not had to receive that grace yet, but I'm confident that if I do, it'll be there. I'm confident for her, if she has to, it will be there. The substance of things hoped for will keep us, keep our minds where it needs to be. Romans 15:13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." God of hope. It's one of his names, God of hope. We live in a hopeless culture, a hopeless world. Many Christians are overcome with hopelessness. It's a mess. It ain't going to change. Don't know where God went. He's on a long lunch, I guess. No, God of hope will fill us with joy and peace. How? In believing. You know, a friend of mine says, Christians don't tell lies, they sing them. And oftentimes when I'm in church or in some gathering and we're singing worship songs, I realize this song, I know the words, I believe the words, but they really don't seem to have much reality, if that makes sense, what I'm trying to say. This morning we sang, "Your goodness knows no bounds, your goodness never stops, your mercy follows me, your kindness fills my life. And in my darkest night, you shine as bright as day. Your love amazes me." It says, "You're good, so good. Let the king of my heart be the wind inside my sails. You're never going to let me go. You're never going to let me down." We sang that song. Those are just a few of the things that we sang. And yet we can sing those sorts of things, and we're no closer to getting rid of the stronghold in our minds, because something in our mind is contradicting the songs we just sang. Yeah, we believe them for you. I have faith for you, Carl. It's faith for me I have trouble with. Never going to let me down. Never going to let me go. That's what we sing. Do we believe it? That's the question. Where am I here? Here we go. Here's a warfare psalm coming down, coming to the end of this little time together. I'm going to do all 8 verses because it's a great psalm, and it'll be helpful to each of us in difficult times, in times when something comes out of our life that we don't like, whatever it might be, whatever the struggle, whatever thing is in our head that says this is the way it is and it's not going to change, whatever is up there saying that. The psalmist said, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore." Substance of things hoped for. I got to build my life on this. If I build my life on this, I will be up one day, down the next day. And you know what else I'll do? I will justify it. I'm Irish. Covers everything. Doesn't it, Pat? It's a nonsensical thing to say. I'm like this because I'm like this. I'm like this, and this is the way I am. I'm dealing with this, but it's the way it is. Deliverance from hopelessness is not found in the absence of difficulty or challenge or trial or confusion. It's found in the midst of the things that we fix our eyes upon. If we have hope, I said that wrong, I think, but let me rephrase it. If we have hope in God, the hopelessness will go away. Will it change? Yeah, it will. Will it change now? I don't know. It'd be nice. But we're in a war. That's why weapons of warfare. You can't give in to your soul. Why are you downcast? Knock it off. Put your hope in God. Stop. Elijah in the cave, what the heck are you doing here? Jesus, as he was preparing to leave, go to the cross and then leave his disciples, you know, he was emotionally attached to these guys. Sometimes we don't realize he was leaving his friends. Call them that. And he wanted to comfort them because he knew they were going to go through a rough time. And they did. But he said this to them in John 16:33. He'd been teaching them for a couple of chapters at this point. And he says to them, he said, "These things I have spoken to you, that you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." It's right out of the mouth of Jesus. And so my prayer, when Pastor Dave asked me to speak this, I knew what I needed to speak. So I got to believe that somebody here besides me needs to hear it. But my prayer has been, Lord, enable me to bring it with clarity so that my own human weakness of communication would not cloud the message that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God to tearing down strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity and living our lives with our eyes fixed on Jesus, not on the problem, not on the difficulty, not living in a sense of hopelessness that something in my life which is contrary to the will of God cannot be changed. I submit today, if it's contrary to the will of God, it can be changed, and more than that, God wants it to be changed. He does not want you taking a tote full of junk from place to place. He wants you to get rid of it. And that's my message for this morning. Here's a question. Do you have strongholds in your life? Is there something in your thinking that's just not quite, you know, it's not right? Not here to convince anybody of sin. That's God's, that's the Holy Spirit's job. But are there things that you know are contrary to the will of God in your actions and your attitudes and your expectations, anything? They're contrary to the will of God, but you've just made peace with them. You just made peace. Are you carrying things from day to day that you should just discard? Well, then I want to pray. And I want to pray now. And here's how I'm going to pray. I would say at the end of this that, of course, Pastor Dave will come up and close the service, but he always gives an invitation for people to come up, and you should do that for any old thing at all. But if you particularly need prayer concerning strongholds in your thinking, I would encourage you to come up for special prayer. But I'm going to pray. Here's what I'm going to pray. That we would acknowledge. You have to acknowledge it. If you don't acknowledge it, you can't deal with it. And then you have to repent of it. Repentance just means turning away. You're turning, okay, I'm not going to think that way anymore about that person. I'm going to this way. Repentance just means to turn. That's all it means. Then we're going to invite the Holy Spirit to bring new understanding and victory into our lives. Do you believe God can do that? And then we're going to ask God, as we look into his word, that he would give us clarity on what he wants in our situation and according to what he has promised us in his word. So, let's pray. We had a wonderful time of worship. Holy Ghost was here. You can be here every week, all the time. Thank you, Pastor Dave, for making room. Great service. The power of God is here. The presence of God is here. The will of God is here. You got a tote full of junk. You can unload it, or you can take it home with you. That's your choice. But Father, right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just present our lives to you, living sacrifices, wholly acceptable unto you. We give our lives to you, Lord. We submit them to you. Search us and try us, your word says, and see if there be any wicked way in me. So, Lord, we're asking you, if these things that maybe we've made peace with, we don't even think about anymore, but they grieve you, and you want us to walk free of them, help us, Lord, to see them so we can acknowledge them, and that we can turn from them and invite you into that situation, that we can take every thought captive, that we can focus on you, the author and finisher of our faith, and we can see victory come. Holy Spirit, come into each of our lives. Bring new understanding and victory into us as we submit these things to you and open your word to us so we have greater clarity on what your will is concerning our situations, and we give you thanks. Lord, I pray that you'd bless my brothers and sisters today. Thank you for joining me together with this family. And Lord, I just pray that we would encourage each other to continue walking with you the way you want us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Pastor Dave.
And the scripture also says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So if you have a prayer need today, we want to pray and believe God to touch your heart, your soul, your mind, your body, whatever you need. Father, we thank you for this word. Seal it to our hearts, Lord. And Father, we desire to believe that what you have said is true, and to walk in that truth, and to walk in the victory that it gives us in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here and you'd like prayer, please feel free to come now. If not, God bless you. And pray, pray, pray this week that we can get our bathrooms fixed. Glory to God. God bless you. Amen.